The title of today's lesson is called The Kingdom of God Works on the Principle of Death and Resurrection. Does anybody ever feel that when things are going wrong, that maybe God isn't listening, or he doesn't care about you, or you're doing something wrong, or something's... anybody ever feel that way? Thank you. Well, this will help that funny feeling. He's so much bigger than our failures, our sin. He's so much bigger than our sufferings that are coming through us, to us, even through other avenues, even if they're not having to do with us. And the song is, we'll play it after we pray, is, what is it, girl? Cast your burdens on the Lord and leave it there.
This song that Larry has chosen is by a man by the name of Bradley Walker.
Yeah, go ahead and tell about it.
And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the story of Rory and Joey that Bill Gaither really lifted up. She died a few months ago after she really fought to live. She had cervical cancer, and they were very talented people. I think Rory was originally from Kansas, and she was from Indiana, and they had a little baby they named Indiana who's Down syndrome. Anyways, it's really captured my heart this year because Bill Gaither knew them and they were in his hometown. I mean, she was from his hometown in Indiana. Anyways, she died in March, and she really wanted to lift this man up. Now, he is in a wheelchair.
He's an unknown.
I'm not sure what his medical condition is. Some of you who are more savvy and knowledgeable with that might know better than me. But anyways, it's at the gravesite of Joey, where her husband buried her on their farm in Franklin, Tennessee. And it just stayed in our spirit this whole week. And so Larry said, I want that.
It's a simple song by a very simple man.
So Lord Jesus, sometimes we don't know what to do with the situations that are presented to us. But what we do know, Lord, is that we can leave them with you.
Amen.
Lord, your word says to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. And you can fix whatever's wrong when no one else can. So Lord, we want to just thank you and we want to praise you, Lord, for fixing whatever's wrong in our life, Lord. And Lord, let that be the message of the gospel. You know, I read so much that I hear about of people that are in just desperate situations and they don't know where to turn and what to do. And they have illnesses and they have problems that the doctors have thrown their hands up with and said, there's nothing I can do. But Lord, I know that we can bring things to you and leave it in your hands and trust you, Father, that you will either heal us or give us the grace of God to endure it and to overcome it in whatever way that could bring glory to you. So this morning, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you for the rain that we had last night, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for watering everything down, Lord Jesus, the trees and the plants. Lord, thank you for every person that's here this morning. Lord, we love each and every one of them, Lord, in such a precious, precious way, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we ask you to bless our worship service this morning. Lord, let us experience that touch from you, Lord, that comes in those impulses that lets us know down deep in our heart and our soul that we can make it, that we can overcome whatever it is we're going through. Lord, we need that touch from you, Lord. We need that anointing, Lord. Not from man or woman, but from you, God. And Lord, I ask you to anoint my precious husband, Lord, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Get the lights.
Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord, oh, leave it there. If you trust Him through your doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. If the world from you withholds of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His word how He feeds the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord, oh, and leave it there. If you trust Him through your doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. Your body suffers pain, and your health you can't regain, and your soul is slowly sinking in despair. Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can say, and He can heal. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord, oh, and leave it there. If you trust Him through your doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there, leave it
body racked with pain, soul, talk about the soul there, which we're going to talk about this morning, in despair. You know, like I said in the beginning, sometimes we can be made to feel like if we're going through difficulties, that God's not on task. But the message here is the kingdom of God works on the principle of death and resurrection. John chapter 12 in the Amplified Bible, Jesus was talking. Actually, this was when some Greeks came to His disciples and said, "People want to see Jesus." And instead of showing Himself to them, we'll talk about this in a minute, this is what He said. "I assure you, though solemnly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just one grain. It never becomes more, but lives by itself alone. But if it dies, it produces many others and yields a rich harvest." You got that? "Anyone who loves his life loses it, but anyone who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. Whoever has no love, no concern, or no regard for his life here on earth, but despises it, preserves it for life forever." And the word life there not only refers to physical life, but it refers to our soul life also. Verse 26, if anyone serves me, he must continue to follow me, to cleave steadfastly to me, to conform wholly to my example in living, as need be, in dying. Everybody underline that. This is a warning to his disciples. You have to conform to my example in living and dying. And wherever I am, there will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Why do we have to, quote unquote, die a death while still in our body? Jesus is clear here in verse 26. We must allow whatever kind of, quote unquote, death that God has in mind for us. In this lesson, we're talking about soul death, going through very, very difficult circumstances, but trusting God. Like Psalms 30, verse 3 says, O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You ever heard of anybody's soul being in the grave? Anybody ever felt that way? Cynthia? Yeah, you're nodding, yes. I'm not picking on you. And your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. All three. You have kept me alive that I should go down. Now, you brought my soul up from the grave. You've kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Continue in John chapter 12. Jesus said, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had been thundered, said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken this. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Notice in verse 31 I just read, demonic forces are overcome by his death and also by your soul death and resurrection. Demonic forces are overcome when we go through soul death and resurrection. We teach that a lot here. But the point here is not to get discouraged when you feel things are going wrong. God will convert those things. How many things in Romans chapter 8? All things work together for good. Verse 32. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. Remember when Carol taught me that verse. In John 12, many Jews rejected him, but many Gentiles wanted to see him. Jesus said it was time for him to die, so Jews and Gentiles could see him in his resurrection and be saved. Not just out of mere curiosity, which was what he saw those Jews, the Gentiles, those Greeks. They were just curious. But he wants us to, you know, when he's been resurrected, then we can see him in a way that we can get saved and we can get delivered. Verse 33. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Not only is the word a seed, but our lives are seeds or martyrs, like an axe. Our lives are seeds. That is not always the death of the body, but death to our comfort, desires, and our soul. Like in Acts 1. Remember when they said, when's the kingdom of God coming, Lord? You're gonna get out of here right now. You've been resurrected. You're going back to heaven. When are you going to make the kingdom? And he said to them, but you shall receive. He said, don't worry about the time and the date. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Now that word witnesses also means martyr. It means a witness that you say what you see, but it also means martyr. As a matter of fact, it's down there at the bottom of page 2. The Strong Concordance. You'll be witnesses or martyrs to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Does this mean that we are to expect simply a life of trials and sufferings? No. Everybody say no. We are to expect a life of blessings and good work for God and his kingdom. However, God uses death and resurrection as his means to that end. We're not preaching suffering, suffering, suffering. We're preaching the means to the end. Going through it, making it through it, and being resurrected while still in the body. We're overcoming. We were born again for good works. Our trials are meant to be resurrected into blessings. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I like what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 11 in the Amplified Bible, that if possible, Paul said, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. That's what he actually said. There's a death and resurrection while still in the body to which we are called. Some are called to be martyrs with their physical lives, and some with their souls, and some with both. This is also about seeing the dead things in our lives resurrected in the here and now. Kim and I and Elizabeth watched a very interesting movie last night. Maybe some of you have seen God Is Not Dead, number 2. Have anybody seen that yet? You got to see it. I'll tell you, it was dynamite. It was just briefly, I'm not going to give you much of the story, except there was a major problem with this woman in a courtroom. Should I tell them? Or that? I don't want to spoil it. And it looked like everything was hopeless. And then 20 minutes later, everything was more hopeless. And then another 15 minutes later, everything was absolutely impossible. But I'm going to stop there so you get the movie. But
it came out in the theaters in the spring. We got it on Amazon. It just came out on Amazon. It's worth seeing. It's called God's Not Dead 2.
Worth seeing. It's certainly worth seeing. It just reminds us that things that look impossible, nothing is impossible for God, but he wants to take us to those cliffs. Amen, Rose? And then show us what he can do. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we have to be willing to believe and wait. Everybody say, believe and wait.
Believe and wait. I think the point is to show that we're not weak. Just say that here. To show that we're not in control.
That's it. And we're going to cover that, if we have time, in the latter part of the lesson. Exactly what you said. And that's something that we have to grow into. Or die into.
He's the creator. He's the creator, not we're the creator.
Yeah, we're not in control. Exactly.
He's the creator. He's the creator.
Thank you for that wonderful.
That's the part of us that has to die.
That's the part of us that has to die.
That part of us that thinks we can fix
it. That's right. Thank you, Elizabeth, for bringing up that subject. Page 2, Acts 14. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Now here, we're going to show what it's like to be, what it's like to be like Elizabeth and Carol just talked about. How to be not in control. This is a couple of parables that Jesus told. The story of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. Coupled with the story of the one-hour man in Matthew 20, is all about the kingdom of God coming into this world. Anybody ever heard of the rich young ruler? You know what I'm talking about? Amen. The rich young ruler missed it. He was self-sufficient. He needed soul death. The one-hour man was a fruit bearer because he was broken. He had soul death. In Matthew 19, a rich young ruler came to Jesus, asked him some very sensitive questions. He had a desire to be right with God. He said, what do I have to do to be right with God? Do I have that? Let me see. Yeah, I have it later. Okay. But Jesus asked him some questions that did not sit well with his lifestyle. He would have to get rid of his idols, his wealth, and his agenda. He'd have to give up, there you go, Elizabeth, control of his life. Perhaps he thought that Jesus did not have his best in mind for him. He just decided to go ahead and look after himself. After all, he was rich. He had a good office. You know, he had office of a ruler. And he had been very religious during his life. In Matthew 19, starting with verse 16, he said, now behold, one came to him and said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? He was always asking him for eternal life. So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. The ruler said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Verse 19, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I've kept in my youth, what do I still lack? Okay? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went astray, sorrowful, for he had great possessions. We got time for a short testimony. After I got saved and before I met Carol, I had a little grocery store on Roswell Road near Indian Hills and a Jewish deli. And the Lord just put into my soul to give away everything I had. And I didn't question. I started giving away money to poor people. I started giving away food to people who didn't have any food. And I gave away my last penny. And never did without. I can't explain it. But when he says to do something, obey him. It worked. It worked. And when I drove away from my past life, an old beat-up Toyota with a little sack full of clothes in the back seat, and the Lord said, okay, Larry, now that you've given away the corruptible things, I'm going to give you the incorruptible.
Larry, may I ask a question? Do you think Do you think that this was customized for the rich young ruler? Do you think that maybe everybody is different? It's not saying that everybody that has money has to give away all their money. But what I think what it's trying to say, if it is an idol to you, and anything that is an idol, and it could be different things with different people. You were so into your catamarans and sailing and racing catamarans, and your big boat that you had, the special boat and everything, that was your God. And that's where you spent all of your time and energy. Somebody else might, it might be cars. It might be a house. It might be whatever. But God, Jesus has a way of looking in our hearts and seeing what is our idol. And that's where he begins to work on the control issue, isn't it? Isn't it?
Thank you, Carol. So the question here is, what shall I do to have eternal life and enter into the kingdom of God? Okay. Verse 22, when the young man heard that he's saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished. Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at him and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Listen to Peter. And Peter answered and said, see, we've left all behind and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said to him, surely I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mother, father or mother or wife or children for lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. But look at verse 30 and underline it. But many who are first will be last and the last first. Now, the rich young ruler is not desperate enough. Why then do so many complicate Christianity? Why do so few walk the way of the kingdom and miss the mystery? Why is it sometimes so difficult to convince Christians to do whatever is needed, to see Jesus, to take up their cross, to hear the word, and to trust that it will do God's work for their lives, for the kingdom? Jesus gives us a simple answer. I've seen people all over the world get a hold of this, and I've seen people totally miss it. I pray that all who read this will catch it. In Matthew 19, the ruler confronts Jesus. Jesus knew he had too much trust in riches, fame, religion, position. He advised him to give it all away if he really wanted life. You know what happened. He refused that Jesus was grieved because he loved him. Then the disciples got anxious about how could anyone enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus told them another parable. Now, God, blessed are the meek, so they should inherit the earth. The word earth in this scripture means includes the people in various nations. So when we become meek, like he wanted the rich young ruler to become, we work, the kingdom of God comes through us. Now, Jesus answered Peter's question. Here's how you do this. And he gave him another parable in Matthew 20. Peter says, how can we do this? It's impossible. If that guy can't make it, how can I make it? So I'll show you. Parable of the one-hour man. Jesus answered the disciples' astonishment and their questions by telling them about their potential eternal rewards. Then he gave them a picture of the kingdom rewards that could have while here on earth in Matthew 20. He told them that they'd have a reward in heaven. Now he says, I'll show you who's going to get the reward here on earth. Chapter 20 contains a parable of a man who owned a vineyard and went to the marketplace to hire workers for the harvest. Verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven, Jesus was telling this parable, is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers in the vineyard. I want you to see this like a little employment agency where it's outside some store. You know, some people sitting there waiting to get jobs. Sitting on the ground waiting for somebody, a contractor, to come by and say, come on, work for me today. Verse 2. Now when he agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. So he hired some laborers, okay, for a denarius a day. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing in the marketplace. So he still needed more laborers after 3 hours. And he said to them, you also go to the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give it to you. So they went. He didn't say he'd pay them a denarius a day. You trust me, I'll pay you what's due you. So he went out, verse 5, at the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, here we go, verse 6, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why are you standing here idle all day? And I want you to see others. There's one guy sitting there, wasn't hired. Why wasn't he hired? Why do you think they didn't hire? Why do you think they hired the other ones first?
Probably wasn't able-bodied.
Able-bodied? Exactly. Maybe he has crutches. Maybe he had a broken arm. Maybe he had one bad eyesight. Maybe he just looked depressed. And they said to him, because no one hired us, he said to them, you go also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers, give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. I want you to see a picture of this. Dennis, Jim, Mark, come up here, man. Just make a line right here. Dennis, you stand here first. Mark, yeah, come up here. You stand behind Dennis. And you stand behind Mark. And I'm the owner of the vineyard. I'm going to pay you, okay? So when they came up, they came up like this. Dennis, wait a minute. You're the one that worked all day. Why don't you get the end of the line? Wait a minute. You're the one that worked 6 hours. I want you to get the end of the line, too. Jim? You're the one that worked 1 hour. I'm going to give you a denarius. Thank you. You can go sit down. Now, these guys got angry. You guys worked all day, and he worked for 1 hour, and he got the same wages? Thank you. Verse 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more and otherwise receive the denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who borne the burden of the heat of the day. But he answered them and said, friend, now wait a minute, before I go, what am I doing? I'm not giving them the denarius, I'm giving them the kingdom of God. It's all about who's going to receive the kingdom of God, right? Absolutely. Absolutely. For sure.
Bad reputation.
Yes. Absolutely.
Do you think the one-hour man might have been like a cast out, like a bad reputation, undeserving?
Perfect. No question about it. You hit.
He could have been older. He could have been young and capable.
Absolutely.
But maybe more than that, maybe like a drunk and maybe just completely just young and capable.
He may not have been hired because he maybe like this with his head down, just kind of. And the landowner said, "I don't want to hire that guy. He looks."
So basically,
it was a gift. But he's not getting paid money here in the parable. They're getting. Who's getting the kingdom of God first?
And that's a gift.
Okay, now.
Oh, grace.
Yeah, it's not necessarily tied to money. It's tied to what God gives by grace.
Exactly. And everything else that comes along when we get grace, bringing the kingdom of heaven to this earth. That's right. Yeah, Dan.
So this is in direct answer to the disciples who said, "How can a rich man get in heaven?" So he's answering, it's not all about money.
That's right.
This is an example.
Exactly. Exactly. You're all on target. Verse 14 at the top of page 5. "Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I'm good? So the last will be first, and the first last, but few are chosen." He hired the first man for a denarius a day. That was a full day's work. I submit he hired the strongest and most able of the five men. This was man number 5. The third hour he returned to hire more help and asked man 4 to work a partial day and he would pay him fairly. 6th hour he did likewise with man 3. 9th hour did likewise with man 2. At the 11th hour, he returned again, man number 1, the 1 hour man. He asked man number 1, "Why are you still there?" The man answered, "Because no one would hire us. He would not work for 1 hour." First, these men were not lazy, or they had not been sitting in the employment agency all day. Most likely, this 1 hour man was the least able of all, and most likely, like Elizabeth said.
Samaritan woman or anyone in the Bible.
Exactly. These people.
If he would help the 1 hour man, he probably would have helped the Samaritan woman too.
Exactly. The woman that caught in adultery. This is dying. These people. This 1 hour man died. He had soul death. He was a grain of wheat that fell into the ground. Okay? And God was saying, "You qualify, buddy, because you have died. You've died your soul death. You don't trust in yourself. You know that you. I'm not paying you because you are capable."
It's interesting that each and every man got the denarius.
Yeah.
So, likewise, the kingdom of God, each and every person can receive it regardless of whether they have earned it.
That's right.
And I think I say later in the lesson, maybe, this is a Larry maybe man number 5 was saved, and he got the kingdom of heaven when he died. Maybe. I don't know. Just maybe, you know, maybe he was just, who knows. Just, he didn't really, he wasn't broken. But he was saved somehow. But he didn't really, he wasn't broken enough to God for using to bring the kingdom of heaven to this earth. Now, yet when you're broken, when you're gone through pure hell with your soul death, then you're qualified.
In that same vein, you back in earlier on page 2 or 3, I think it was, it said in verse 27, Peter said and answered, "See, we've all left all and followed you, therefore what shall we have?" And Jesus said to you, "Assuredly I say to you, in the regeneration when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, ye who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This conversation that he was having, Judas Iscariot was with them at the time. So what does that mean for Judas Iscariot? Will he be on the 12 thrones too?
Judas Iscariot didn't make it, did he?
Well, it says literally, he says, you 12 will be on the throne. Is that
where is that?
He's talking to the group.
Well,
he says, you who have followed me will set me.
You had followed me, that's right. Yeah. Obviously, Jesus didn't make it. Okay. Perhaps he was broken as we are when we die as a grain of wheat, as Jesus described. That's the whole idea. Amen, Rose? You guys have been through some soul death, and you've seen some resurrection. I submit that he was the weakest of all. Remember, this parable is about the kingdom of God when people receive it. When the daytime came, the master called the one-armed man first, and the all-day man, and five last, saying, the last will be first. Few are called, or many, but many are called, for few are chosen. The one-hour man received the kingdom of God in the here and now, and brought the kingdom of God to earth, as in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Perhaps man number five went to heaven when he died and received the kingdom at that time, or even later in his life, when things got tough for him. But the one who had nothing else to trust in received it now. What was the manifestation of receiving the kingdom? First, we see the kingdom of God coming into our realm of influence, whatever that may be. This could include many different manifestations. Also, we will realize that God is taking care of our personal needs. However, all this will come through death and resurrection. When Carol and I were in Cuba in 2005, and we ministered this to a group, an underground home church, but 30, 40 people there, Carol? Group of leaders really got. They came up with a theme and they carried signs. The next day they came in, they said, El hombre una sola hora. The one-hour man. We are one-hour people. Did I say that okay, Mario?
And they were rejoicing. They were celebrating.
We are one-hour people, they shouted.
They were celebrating and dancing.
They had music. That's right.
These are people that had been in the under the communist regime. Some of these people actually, this one woman's husband, you know, worked for the Communist Party. So you can only imagine the kind of pressure that they lived under. But they had found the Lord, and I mean the joy of the Lord was so heavy in that little house. And it was such a blessing, but they got this message real well. And it was such a blessing to see them rejoice and celebrate. You know, when you know that God has come through for you in some way, you got something to rejoice about, don't you?
They were desperate people. But when they found out that their desperation qualified them as one-hour men, they had banners, they were singing and shouting, thank you, Lord, that we're qualified to be one-hour people. Thank you. Thank you. Gracias. Hang on, start over again.
The world teaches us that to be desperate or lacking in some way is bad.
Amen.
And when really, that's where you have to get.
We know better. We know your life.
To be able to hear God and to know that
that's
you
right.
can trust God. Because if you have everything, then you don't have anything, you don't have any need to trust in God.
Soul death. Everybody say soul death.
Soul death. It's not easy. Soul death is not easy. It's painful. But our life is a seed. The Word of God is a seed. You know, and this is not in the lesson. But even when we teach about Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. The sower sows the Word to four different kind of people. And then Satan comes immediately to steal the Word and causes battles and all sorts of heartaches in your lives. And only 25% of those people that received the Word made it through their soul death, because die, right? God speaks a word into Dan's heart while he's fellowshipping with the Lord. And you say, I know God spoke to me. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to work out. But he put a seed in my heart. Well, after that seed's got to die, and you got to feel just about hopeless. Soul death before that seed can get resurrected. It's the same. This, the whole kingdom of God works with me. Many people in this world are desperate, but not all desperate people are broken. Carol, you might want to talk about this in a minute. I submit that this one-armed man was both desperate and broken. Broken means that one has come to the place that he or she knows there's no help available from any human being or agency, not even from one's own abilities. Notice that the one-hour man remained in the employment agency. He was not begging or trying to manipulate people to support him. Applying this to your Christian walk, it means that unless your Lord does something, you're done for it and you're lost.
I think you covered it.
Okay. Then let's pray and let people fellowship for a while. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we have once again been able to come to hear your word presented to us by Larry. We thank you for his clarity and what he teaches and his, and the way that he can open up the word to us. And we thank you for this. Lord, we ask you to go with us for the rest of the week, and that you will continue to show us things from your word, speak into our heart, protect us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. You can hang out.